Chinese debts are in news right now, BRI project. We keep talking about CPEC project, Hambantota in Sri Lanka. It's in news, particularly also because you see this Chinese ship, the Chinese sort of information gathering ship or a spy ship, if you choose to call it that, ship that can track satellites and also figure out where submarines are, which has got India so upset. That ship was headed for Hambantota, mainly for refueling, as they say, for refueling, maybe some cleaning, and God knows what else. I mean, Chinese can say to whoever would believe them, but unlikely we Indians would ever believe that. So India objected to Sri Lanka, and we know that Sri Lanka has said that they have asked the ship not to dock just now at Hambantota. And Sri Lankan government has also said the Chinese ambassador has met Sri Lankan government and said this is unnecessary. And Chinese foreign ministry has also issued a strong statement calling this a completely unnecessary controversy and attacking India. As we are talking about this, the fact is that the ship has still not changed course. And it is not that close yet. I mean, as we talk, it may still be about 500-600 miles away from Sri Lankan coast. But even now, it seems headed on the same course, which at some point in the course of the next few days will take it to Hambantota. Now, whether they intend to do it and defy the Sri Lankans and India, India will not stop it forcibly from going to Hambantota. This is in international waters and Sri Lanka is a sovereign country. Although there is a precedent in 2017 of Indian Army crossing the border from Bhutan's side and stopping the Chinese in the Doklam sector. India was not stopping them from crossing into the Indian territory. They were stopping them from crossing into the Bhutanese territory. But unlikely such a thing will happen on the high seas in international waters. And unlikely, I would say, the Chinese would really push it to such an extent that they say, we are landing in Hambantota. But see how it looks from China's point of view. So put yourself in the shoes of the Chinese. And the Chinese say, this is a port that we built in Sri Lanka. This is a port for we lent money to Sri Lanka. This is the borrowing. This is the debt that Sri Lankans failed to pay. Because they failed to pay, we took ownership of the port. So 99 years, we have the lease on the port. So who the hell are the Sri Lankans who tell us not to use it for whatever purpose? So this is a case of, as you might say in Hindi, Hamari Billi Hami Se Miau, which means, you know, I thought you were indebted to me and you traded this asset in return for the debt, and now you are telling me not to use it. So that is if you see it from the Chinese point of view. From Sri Lanka's point of view, this is a lesson that this is what happens when you take debts that you didn't want. And they should have known whether they need a port in Hambantota or not. Obviously, they did not, because if you see the map of Sri Lanka, see it on my screen, just how far is Hambantota from Colombo, which is a beautiful big port. Then there is a Trincomalee port, again a beautiful big port on the other side, on the eastern coast of Sri Lanka. With these two ports, why did you need Hambantota and that too so close to Colombo? This was never going to be financially or economically viable. This was a strategic project. So Sri Lankans should have known what they are doing, but they obviously didn't care because they saw this money coming. And Rajapaksa's also, I presume from my limited understanding of politics, they thought that, all right, this is a port being built in our constituency. Hambantota is the home of the Rajapaksas. So this will create a lot of wealth and a lot of jobs. So why not? So they allowed this for the wrong reasons. Wrong reasons means there was no economic rationale, justification, feasibility for that port to come up. Now this has become a top class problem. It's a diplomatic issue between Sri Lanka and India. India is helping Sri Lanka so much. This has become now a strategic / diplomatic issue between Sri Lanka and China, because the Chinese will say, as I said, Hamari Billi Hami Se Miau, look at yourself, who the hell are you? You also owe so much more money. And for Sri Lankans, it's a double problem, because it's reminding the Sri Lankans, the new Sri Lankan government, that they have so much of this debt that they did not meet. Now, Sri Lankans will not talk about it, but someone else has talked about it. And that someone else is a very smart man. He is the finance minister of Bangladesh. You usually see his name written as AHM Mustafa Kumar. We spoke about him the other day also. When we analyzed for you the implications of Bangladesh going to the IMF for a $1.5 billion loan. His name is Abu Hena Muhammad Mustafa Kamal. But you know what? And that's the reason maybe that he's a smart guy who can also talk sense on economic and financial issues. He's a businessman. So in Bangladesh, his nickname is Lotus Kamal. You can also call it Lotus Kamal because Lotus means Kamal, but Lotus Kamal. And why is he called Lotus Kamal? Because he is the owner of the Lotus Group, which is among the biggest, if not the biggest, textile group in Bangladesh. So he knows business, and he also understands that before you borrow to run a business or to run an economy, you have to see, one, whether this is worthwhile, two, what will be return on investment, third, what will be your ability to repay the loan. So what has he done? He's done something which usually we don't expect from ministers in the subcontinent to do. Now, Bangladesh is a different kind of a country to the extent that it's quite confident of itself right now. Its leaders can speak up in a way that Pakistan's leaders won't speak up, and Sri Lanka's definitely cannot speak up. So A.H. Mustafa Kamal or Lotus Kamal has spoken to Financial Times of London, and I'm sharing a link to the story with you. So please read this story. In that interview, he has said some very candid things. He has said, one, that the countries now should think twice. They should be very careful. His words, they should think twice before taking BRI loans. BRI's Belt and Road Initiative, which is Xi Jinping's big dream. So countries must think twice before taking BRI loans. Why? Because he says, and I quote from this story in FT from his interview, quote, whatever the situation that is going on worldwide, everybody will be thinking twice to agree to this project. This project means to the BRI project. And then he goes on to say, and quote, everybody is blaming China. China can't disagree. These are strong, candid words spoken by a minister, by the finance minister of a nation from the subcontinent. He says, everybody is blaming China. China can't disagree. It's their responsibility. Now, what's he complaining about? He's saying basically that the Chinese are giving these loans too easily. They are not carrying out due diligence. If you try and take a housing loan or a motor vehicle loan, car loan, motorbike loan, any loan, you will find bankers will come, bank surveyors will come, banks, people will carry out due diligence. They will check all your other assets, your collateral, your credit record. They will say how credit worthy you are. Maybe they will even check with your neighbors or whatever. So all banks, all lenders carry out due diligence. One, to check if you will use that money in a remunerative cause that it yields something. Second, will that then create capability or capacity on your part to repay? That's very important for lenders. Third, if you're not able to repay, or if it's your intention not to repay, will there be a collateral? Will there be something that they can possess? In case of a car loan or a housing loan, they can repossess the house you bought or the land you bought or the car you bought or the bike you bought. So there is an asset that is the collateral. Now, any bank or any lender that gives you money without checking on all this, first of all, is taking a risk, and they know they are taking a risk. So they will charge you a higher interest to cover for themselves. You find a lot of banks will now call you, offering you loans without any collateral, right? And they know that a lot of people are desperate, they need money. Then you check, the interest will be 18%, usurious, and like that, because that bank or that lender then is presuming that some of the money will not come back. Now, Chinese, he suggests the Chinese are also over enthusiastic about lending to countries, desperate countries, for the projects without checking out the feasibility of the projects. So that's a bit like, once again, I'm lapsing into Hindi because that's my mother tongue or my native tongue. This is called, in Hindi, this would be called shakar khore ko shakar khilana. What is a shakar khora? Shakar khora is a purple sunbird. See the picture? Very cute birds, and you see them hanging sort of upside down from the flowers, right? And what are they doing? They are sucking nectar from the fully blooming flowers. So shakar khore ko shakar, which means this bird lives on sweet nectar from flowers. You feed it even more sugar, or feeding more sugar to a diabetic. It's not an exactly apt example, but something like that. So a country which is a debt addict, a country which itself is not bothered about what it'll employ this debt for, whether it'll be able to repay or not, or whether the project will be feasible or remunerative or not, you give them even more money to make it easier for them. Rulers, particularly despotic rulers, can then flaunt it as big success stories. That is what the Chinese are doing, he says. And he says now this Chinese pattern of lending needs a thorough study, and borrowers in the future will need to make these thorough studies. And again, he goes on to say, after Sri Lanka, we felt that Chinese authorities are not taking care of this aspect. This is the Bangladesh finance minister speaking. And he says, which is very, very, very important. Now, if you look at Bangladesh itself is not in such trouble with the Chinese debt or any debt. Bangladesh's total foreign debt today is just about 22% of its GDP. Now, how do we understand what is 22%? So it's about a half of what Pakistan's is, which is 40-something percent, 44%, 43% of its GDP. Or Sri Lanka, which is 108%. So Bangladesh's foreign debt as a percentage of its GDP is about a half of Pakistan and about one-fifth, about 20% of Sri Lanka. So Bangladesh is not in so much trouble. Of this also, only 6% debt is from China. 6% debt is from China, about 9.5% is from Japan, and almost all of the rest is from multilateral institutions. Now, there is a big difference between borrowing from multilateral institutions, World Bank, IMF, ADB, AIIF, IMF not so much, but World Bank, ADB, and many such, that is Asian Infrastructure Fund. So many such lenders have come up. These are sort of virtuous lenders. So they lend you at a very low interest rate, generally around 1%. So even what is called the Paris Club. The Paris Club is a group of 22 richest countries which lend money to poor countries. Generally, the interest rate is 1%. What is China's interest rate? Guess. It's 4%. So this is lending to poor countries with Chinese characteristics. Charity to poor countries with Chinese characteristics. So 4%, that's four times on a foreign exchange loan. Second, the Chinese terms are very tough. The Chinese loan tenures are shorter. Most of these multilateral loans have a tenure of 28 years. And there also they are quite generous with extending the period when countries run into trouble. The Chinese, usually their loans are for less than 10 years. And they are not so forgiving about extending the term of these loans. Although they've claimed now that as part of the G20 initiative post the pandemic, they have also been forgiving. But you know, I see a report by BBC that tells you that group, the group G20 group, because of the pandemic, has carried out quite a bit of debt forgiveness, but they refuse to give the BBC a country-wise breakup. So we don't quite know how much have the Chinese contributed to it. Unlikely that they would have contributed too much, because Chinese approach then is, you can't pay, I will take your asset. So they are lenders like, say, your housing loan company. You can't repay your housing loan, I will come and repossess your house. You can't pay me the loan you took against your gold, so I will take out an auction and sell your gold. So Chinese are like that. They repossess the asset that you built with their loan, which is exactly what happened, say, with Hambantota. And I suspect, unless something really dramatic happens, that is also exactly what might happen one day in Gwadar. Because given the kind of debt burden Pakistan has, I cannot see for the life of me how Pakistan will pay back this debt to the Chinese. Unless, of course, as many Pakistanis themselves imagine or hope or fantasize or maybe think optimistically that one day they'll find enormous amounts of gold and stuff and precious metals in Balochistan, which will pay their bills. But those things, you know, hope is not a plan. And that is where the Pakistanis are right now. So this is a very important caution. Now, once again, see where has Bangladesh taken this money from China? And how has Bangladesh responded to this? So Bangladesh took a bunch of money from the Chinese for building the Padma Bridge, Padma River Bridge, big bridge, which Sheikh Hasina recently inaugurated, a $3.6 billion bridge. Padma Bridge railway link is Chinese funded. It's a BRI project. Once again, how did Bangladesh get there? Because World Bank, which was giving loan for this project, they withdrew at the last moment because there were allegations of corruption in Bangladesh on this project. Now, nothing was proven, but World Bank, being World Bank, withdrew, and so they pushed the Bangladeshis into the lap of the Chinese. But this is a project they really needed. That's a project that Bangladesh desperately needed. Then there is Bangabandhu tunnel under Karnafuli River. That's the second one. Again, it's an asset that Bangladeshis use. And third is what is called as Dasher Kandi sewage treatment plant. So these things are in use. But beyond that, Bangladesh has now become very careful. For example, the Chinese had offered Bangladesh money for a port, for a deep water port in a place called Sonadia. You will see it on the map generally where it is, a place called Sonadia. And the Bangladeshis then concluded that this port will never become feasible or profitable or self-sustaining because this was too close to another deep sea port that they had built with Japanese funding, and that port is called Matar Bari. So this was, the Sonadia was so close to Matar Bari that they figured that this will be money that they will not be able to recover, and they then avoided the Sri Lankan Hambantota kind of trap. Now, is this just a subcontinent related problem? These Chinese loans particularly linked to BRI or CPEC in the specific case of Pakistan? No. There's a World Bank report that shows that 37% of all of the poor countries, all of the 74 poorest countries in the world, if you take them out, 37%, that's more than one third of their entire debt payments are owed to China. Yeah, you might say, oh, one third. So where does the remaining two third go? Most of the remaining two-thirds goes to multilateral institutions. That is World Bank, Asian Development Bank, etc. Paris Club, that is the 22 countries grouping. Those are low interest rates. Those also then easily get debt deferment, repayment deferment. That doesn't happen with the Chinese. Now, these countries again, World Bank tells you, the second half of this year, owe $13.1 billion as debt repayment to China. And you can be sure that they are going to struggle. So what will happen? Now, again, you want to see these trends? We have the data from World Bank in this case. The data from World Bank tells you that China's loans to these countries, these poor countries, were $40 billion in 2010. In 2020, these had gone up to $175 billion. That's a lot of money. So China was the single largest lender to these poorest countries. $170 billion in 2020, by this time, it must have gone up even higher. So many of these countries are now sitting in debt traps. So Richard Moore, the chief of MI6, Britain's Overseas International Intelligence Agency, he had said in an interview, and we've also done a full Cut the Clutter episode on his speech, where he keeps saying that the Chinese are lending money to these countries and using debt traps to get their strategic objectives achieved. And how they do it, it's very visible in Hambantota next door to us. And keep track of that ship. Let us see where that ship reaches, because knowing the Chinese, the story will not end there. Because Doklam, we may have pushed them away. Our troops may not have allowed them to come to what is Jhamphiri Ridge from there, where they can get a clear view of the Siliguri corridor. But they've come quite close. They've taken a lot of Bhutanese territory there, and they are now coming around it. So they might find another place from which they will see that vantage point. So the Chinese don't give up or give in. So let us see where will this story end up. And before I conclude, let me also tell you that now you are seeing what's happening with Sri Lanka, the meltdown. Pakistan is too nuclear to melt down, unfortunately, because, you know, as the Pakistani Prime Minister, the current Prime Minister said that, you know, no country can, the world can't afford to see Pakistan go bankrupt, because who will guarantee the safety of nuclear weapons? So Pakistanis have the nuclear blackmail. That's the reason I say two nuclear to go bankrupt, or two nuclear to be allowed to go bankrupt. But Sri Lanka has, they've defaulted on their payments. And another country that's headed that way is little Laos. See where this is located in Southeast Asia. So Laos also is in trouble. Laos's debt is rising. It's a matter of time, it seems, that Laos will default now. Its inflation rate is 24%. It's in deep trouble. Inflation rate is about where Pakistan is right now. And remember, of all of Laos's foreign debt, more than 50%, just over 50% is owed to who else but the champion lender of the world today, China.